On today's episode of the Pop Off Podcast, we are breaking down the conference championship games, the Chiefs beating the Ravens and the Niners coming back against the Lions. And it's a fun episode, man. I mean, we did a draft at the end, which we're going to do on every one of these episodes with Cerrone, Bordy, Petey, and I. And this week we did the hottest TV chicks of all time. So the girls that we watched growing up, that we still watch on HBO, Netflix, ABC, you name it. It's a lot of fun. And it's actually the first time we've had to use the bleep sound effect on an episode. I'm sure you can guess which guest or featured host we had to break that out for. It's pretty fucking obvious. So without further ado, here's the show. Thank you guys for listening. As always, we appreciate you. We love you. Enjoy the show. What's good? Welcome back to the Pop Off Podcast, a conversation show about how time is a flat circle. The Chiefs and the Niners, they fucking won, and we're here to talk about it, I guess. I'm Ralph Compiano. I'm your host, and I'm pissed because the two teams that I was rooting for this weekend, it seems like this happens every year. They inevitably lost, and it's just another matchup of the Chiefs and the Niners. We're rewinding 3 years ago. I'm joined by Mike Cerrone, Ravens fan. I'm joined by Peter Compiano, loser of his bet. And I'm joined by Bordy, the guy that's kind of just soaking it all in, just washing away everybody else's misery.
Just a loser.
A loser in life. And, you know, I want some money on the Niners-Lions game, but that's not what this is about. This is about Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens letting us down. That's the headline we come away with from this game. Cerrone, you were talking all the shit in the world last week. It's time to own up for your mistakes. What do you have to say for this team that's led by a guy named Zay fucking Flowers, who, if you ask my roommate when he was sitting by me on the game, I probably called him the words Nimrod 20 different times. And I never used that word ever, but it came out today quite a bit for Zay Flowers. How do you feel after the Ravens loss?
Just my heart's ripped out. Yeah, you're probably not going to get the typical, just jacked up Cerrone on this pod. You're going to get sad boy, Cerrone, but, right after the loss, I mean, you know, we just talked about it. This is sports, right? This is what we live and we die for. This is the highs, the lows. This is, I mean, at the end of the day, only one team gets to wear a ring at the end of the season. No matter if you don't make the playoffs, if you lose, you know, in the divisional, we had a great season. I mean, I'll talk about the specifics in the game and obviously in a second here, but just overall, you know, you walk out of the stadium with your chin up, your chest high. You don't for a fucking second. And I already saw a Lamar interview after the game. And it was a very good interview. You don't for a fucking second play the pity card or the oh, always me. You had a great season. You made it to the AFC Championship. You can't ask for much more. Obviously, there's the ring, there's the big game, but you got to hold your head high. You now know where you need to make improvements. I mean, I'm proud of these guys. It's just a brutal. I mean, it's sports, man. Another team's gonna feel the same way next week. It is what it is. But the only thing that worries me going forward is pieces staying there. Todd Monken, McDonald, you know, we had such a good group. We had such a good core that I really thought this was the year that it was going to happen. But I feel like whenever you think it's your year, it's not. And then you end up winning it when you're the wild card, just like we did years ago. But yeah, heart ripped out of my chest. I'm kind of glad I get to move on, get on with my life at this point. You know, you kind of get caught up in football and playoffs and, you know, season's over. You know, tip the hat to Mahomes and the Chiefs, man. Those guys they just don't fucking lose. But, yeah, this was probably one of the worst losses as a Ravens fan. Yeah. I can only imagine how the Lions fans feel right now. I feel like that, as much as a bad loss with the Ravens was, I mean, talk about getting your heart ripped out with Detroit. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But just overall into the season, yeah, it's brutal. But hold your fucking head up. Walk out of there proud. Like Ray Lewis, like Suggs, we played our asses off. We had a great season. Only one team gets a ring at the end of the year.
Yeah. P, are you more impressed with Mahomes, like you talked about last week on this episode, or are you more disappointed in Lamar?
I mean, Mahomes is absolutely unbelievable today. Like, some of those throws that he was making were just unbelievable. So I'd probably have to go with Mahomes there. But, I mean, Lamar had a great game. He looks good. But that one pass where he threw it into triple coverage was just classic Lamar. Like, what are you doing, man? You know, sort of thing. Figure it out. Like, the replay, Aguilar is wide open. I mean, they didn't need to score there. There was plenty of time left. But Mahomes was unbelievable today. Him and Kelce were doing what they do best, but it just sucks so much dick that now we have to watch Kelce and Swift. And I mean, it's just one big fuckery of just suckiness. It is like the Purdy story and the Swift story. It all seems like it's just one big ploy for the NFL to promote it.
Nobody won.
Nobody won.
They had an Instagram post.
Roger Goodell won. That's about it.
Yeah, she has made the NFL north of, I think, $33 million just in, like, generated new audiences coming in, ticket sales, revenue. They posted it on Instagram earlier. It was an awkward post to have, especially after that game. Bordy, did Lamar actually play good, or were you like, what the fuck's going on? Because, I mean, I celebrated him all year on our pre-shows, and you were a little bit more hesitant to do so until the later weeks of the season. But what did you see from him? Was this a sign of a lack of growth, him reverting to his old tactics? What was the big thing with Lamar that you saw today?
Just a lack of confidence, I think, in his downfield throws. You saw early in the year when he was having a lot of success throwing it, and even late in the year, a lot of it was to wide open receivers and guys running butt naked. But, he kind of, you can see it in his eyes tonight, you know, he's kind of like Black Dak, you know, just, you can sometimes tell when a guy's going to go out there and go three and out four times in a row.
Yeah.
Lamar has a little bit of that in him, I think, which sucks because I love the guy and he's one of the most talented quarterbacks ever, but he's just kind of Black Dak in the way that, like, what matters. And that pressure just, like, seems bigger, kind of folds.
As if Dak Prescott's not Black.
Yeah, he's not Black. Well, his name's Dakota. So, you know, that kind of subtracts a little bit of the blackness there.
Rain, actually. I think Turner dropped a bomb in the chat the other day. And
but yeah, one of Dak's parents has to be Black, though, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, okay. He's not like dark Native American or anything like that. Like, he's definitely light skinned.
Yeah, but he's definitely far from white, though.
His mother is Native American.
Okay. Oh. So he's an Indian. And his dad is white?
No, his dad's black. Has to be black. His mother is like a white Native American, you know. They're kind of
there's an intersection there.
Flower moon.
Looking at Mahomes really quick, because we've been sad about the Ravens to start, but we should be celebrating this guy, I guess. I mean, we're talking about this game as if, you know, this was a 35-31 game. The final score is fucking 17-10. So it's not like either team really looked that good on the offensive side of the ball. Mahomes, 30 of 39 on completions and attempts, 240 yards, one touchdown, no picks, only sacked twice. They had that stat on the broadcast. He hadn't been sacked in his last four playoff games, which is unbelievable. And we've talked about it in the past, that he always seems to be just fast enough and make the right play. I think I texted it to you guys too. This game is just a perfect example of how wide of a gap there is between Mahomes being the best player in the league and whoever else is the second best player in the league. Because if Lamar is the second best player in the league, you couldn't really tell today. Like, there was just a confidence level and an anxiety level that I experienced as somebody with money on the Ravens, where when I got to 3rd-and-8 with the Ravens, I was like, I had no trust in them whatsoever to pick it up. Versus it's the Chiefs and it's like 3rd-and-18. And I'm thinking to myself, somehow, some way, this motherfucker is going to pick this up. Like, God damn it. And I hate to admit it, but that's just the reality of him. And I think that there's a new rule in the playoffs that we can no longer bet against Mahomes. I don't know if I can ever do it again, because now it's happened twice this year and he's made me look like a fucking idiot both times. But at the same time, I mean, did they score in the second half? I'm pretty sure they had 17 points at half.
I was going to say, yeah, they scored. They didn't score in the second half. To whereas, and as a fan, We were there. I mean, talk about a couple of things. We were there the whole game. It almost wasn't out of reach until the very end, which is it felt like we were losing by a lot more than we actually were. I'll give I'm to Reesburg and Turner. Yeah, dude, he made those plays that we talked about last pod to where you scramble, you don't, there's nothing there, but he makes something happen where usually Lamar can make those plays too. He did. Lamar made one of the craziest plays I've ever seen, the touchdown to Zay. But obviously just that is not enough.
Enough
Couple
of that
things.
all day. They needed more of that all day and just.
Yeah, we needed a consistent, we did not run the ball. We needed, he and Lamar missed a lot of throws. He did. And it is what it is. You keep improving. Couple things. Kelce had 10 receptions at halftime. We could not touch him. We could not even get close to him. He was on a different level. We did not get to Mahomes at all pressurized, where they pressured Lamar, play after play after play. He had the blindside fumble, which is going to happen. It is what it is. I think we got out coached. I think we did. We didn't make the right adjustments with Kelce. I mean, Kelce, these guys in the Ravens played so well all season, but they're falling for Kelce's not blocking on third down. I promise you, he's not blocking on third down. You can't fall for that. You got to know the ball's going to him.
Well, it was just a perfect matchup for Kelce because the Ravens played zone defense the entire first half.
Yeah,
They
very
rarely
soft.
blitzed. And then you saw in the second half, it felt like on every crucial down, either one of or both of Roquan and Queen were coming up the middle and they were putting pressure on Mahomes. And I was asking for that the entire first half. I was like,
I know.
Kelce is, he used to be able to beat you in one-on-one man-to-man situations all the time. You had to send two at him if you were going to run man-to-man. That's not the case anymore. Now you can't run zone against him because of that chemistry between those two guys where he's just going to sit down in an area and find it. And yeah, he had 10 receptions, 102 yards, and a
Tore us
touchdown.
apart.
And even just from the start of the game, like it feels like the first two possessions of the game told the whole story where, the Ravens come out and they look flat. Like I thought that they were going to be fired up and hype and I
We
mean,
were
at least
scared.
not go three and out. Maybe get one fucking first down on the first drive. And then you punt it away to the Chiefs and they chew up 7 minutes of clock and it results in a Mahomes to Kelce touchdown. And then it wasn't over necessarily, but it felt like, well, this is going to be pretty difficult to come back from. They dug themselves into a
The
grave because the
moment
Chiefs
was
defense looked fucking
Chiefs
good.
defense did its job, and fucking
Yeah.
the Ravens offense, they couldn't even get it into field goal range. We said it last week. Chiefs defense is going to have some tricks up their sleeve, but Ravens can get points from 60 yards out, and they should have capitalized on that more, known that's their game, and realized you don't need an 80-yard touchdown drive. You need a 30-yard drive and get three,
Yeah.
because in a game like
Yes.
that, points are few and far between.
Lamar was looking for the home run.
Every first down he has to
Yeah,
go over the top,
and
which I love, but.
yeah, but there's a certain point in the game where it's almost like that scene. Remember that scene at the end of Martian, almost tying it back to movies where he's like, listen, at some point in your life or at some point in this game, everything is going to go wrong. And you either fold over and you cry, or you solve one problem, you solve the next, you solve the next, you solve the next, and you get home. It's like when everything's going wrong, revert back to Gus Edwards. Revert back to, I would have liked to see Lamar use his legs a little bit more. I know we praise him as a passer and we want him to be a pocket passer, and he's been so good at using his legs at the right times. But there's a certain point in the game where the Chiefs' experience, their chemistry, they're just weathered. They've been there so many times where the moment was too big for us. This year it was. But we got a little bit more experience. Lamar now has played in the AFC Championship. But these Chiefs, they've been there. I mean, Patty's been there, what, six times in a row? This is another game
No,
to them.
he's
To
four Super Bowls, six AFC
he's been
championships.
four of the last five Super Bowls. This will be his fourth Super Bowl. But I think another point to bring up, like Kelce, like for all the shit that I've been talking with him and T Swift, like I feel like he had a few games there when he started dating Taylor where he kind of fell off and he wasn't the Travis Kelce that we all know. But I think tonight was like the night for him that he really kind of
Comes
brought
back.
brought back who Travis Kelce was.
Catching everything.
Yeah, and also
him and Mahomes were on the same.
L'Jarius Sneed and McDuffie, like, they definitely deserve a shout-out. They're flying around out there like absolute psychos, dude. And Chiefs just look like a better team. And I think that
– Justin Reed had a good game.
Yeah, I think it was Sneed. Because I was thinking about this before the pod started. If I were to put the play – I mean, it's football. It's a game of inches. We've played this sport for years. The play where Zay, and you know, you got to give it to the kid. Anybody in that situation is going to dive with the ball out. You got to go for the, you have to, he did nothing wrong, but sometimes the ball bounces your way. Sometimes it doesn't. And he reaches out, he fumbles on the one, which is just, it's heartbreaking. I watched that. I was like, when I saw that, I mean, you know, it just, that's what happens sometimes. And that's what decide. I feel like that play, I mean, he scores right there. It's tie game going to overtime.
I mean, he was amazing for that entire drive. Yes. Like Bordy said it in the chat, but he had two rookie wide receivers in that moment. He had the taunting penalty that brought him back 15 yards, which is stupid, right? Like, you shouldn't have to get flagged for that. But that's the reality of this game. You know that the refs are siding with the fucking Chiefs. You have to understand that. And they're going to look for any opportunity they can to push you back 15 yards. And then he makes that diving play. And credit to Sneed, man. Like, he had just gotten fucking mossed right before that. Yeah. And then he bounces back and he strips him at the goal line. And I love Zay Flowers. I think he's an incredible talent. But you just have to understand that in these situations, like you said, Cerrone, it's a game of inches, man.
It is.
And you can't afford to it's just, fuck me, dude. Why the fuck did the Chiefs have to win this goddamn game?
Yeah,
this sucks.
Let's just say, playing a team like that, you cannot make any mistakes. We had so many penalties. It's almost like, I remember growing up around so many Patriots fans, and you know, it's almost like that. Like when you used to play the Patriots with Brady and Belichick, you cannot afford to make any mistakes. And we made some mistakes. They played great. Our defense honestly played great. Again, they let up.
Yeah.
I mean, there was 0 points scored in the second half. Kyle Hamilton, he's my new favorite player. That guy, talk about just effort and just Ravens football, just every play, given everything he's got. I think Lamar needs to just learn how to, you know, exhale when things aren't going your way. And there's a certain Mahomes just has that it factor when, you know, it's going to come down to those two or three plays. He's going to get it done. Shout out to them. It's just a brutal way to end the season, a game that I feel like we could have won. You know, just everything was, you know, we're just, yeah, you, we kind of looked like inexperienced. The moment was too big for us out there today. And good on the Chiefs. It's just a brutal, brutal loss. Also, very random note. This is my last point. For how much criticism, I'm a very, like, I always feel bad for players sometimes, like the guy in the Colts who dropped the 4th-and-1 pass.
For how Tyler Gibson, Hawks in the NFL.
Yeah, for the amount of criticism that, and this is a very, like, random play, and no one probably noticed it, but MVS, Valdez-Scantling, I can't imagine what that guy felt earlier in the season, dropping passes, especially against the Eagles, people just tearing him apart on radio stations, all this stuff. 3rd-and-9, for him to get thrown a bomb that was underthrown, he tripped, fall, caught that ball when the game – I mean, this is pretty much the end of the game if he caught the ball. For him to catch that, good on you, MVS. I'll tip the cap. You've been in that situation so many times before and fumbled it and just got torn apart. And you know that shit lives rent-free in his head. For him to catch that ball, it was cool to see that because I know he, you know, lost some sleep over all those catches and drops throughout the year. For him to catch that last ball – got to give it to him. That's just a random side note that kind of made me smile a little bit. You know, good for him to turn the page and catch that one that it didn't look like he was going to catch it because he fell and it was underthrown. But, yeah, man, this one's going to hurt really bad for a while. And, fuck, man, I don't know. I got nothing left.
How about Kadarius Toney live on Instagram?
Like an hour before the game. What was he doing?
What do you think he was doing?
Oh God, I don't want to know.
I didn't know. Was it funny?
Just yelling like, "I'm not hurt."
He was listed as an inactive on the like injury report, and he goes on Instagram Live like 30 minutes before the game, and it's not his face. It's like Bordy said, it was just a black screen, and he's like, "I'm not hurt. Like, don't believe the conspiracy theories. Oh, like, they just don't want Kadarius Toney to shine."
Oh my god!
And it's like, dude,
like everybody knows
about you, man.
Like, we all know. Yeah.
I want to touch on the Zay Flowers piece real quick, because that was the game. I mean, that was all the momentum in M&T Bank Stadium. That right there is just full blown karma. Like, go fuck yourself, buddy. Because who did he get feisty with? Like, that was basically like Viv and Bordy talking shit to me, and then I start chirping back, and then I get fucked in that Lions games. Like, that was full blown karma. Go fuck yourself, buddy. Like, he started talking shit when he made that catch, and then like. I mean, that's just God. That's just
I didn't
God,
say
right?
that, but yeah, that's always the best when some guy like celebrates a first down and he didn't even get the first down.
I think he was tripping.
Yeah, it was just, and he's a young kid. He's gonna talk his shit. He's from South Florida. He'll learn from that.
Yeah, dude. He was just at Boston College a year ago playing in meaningless games, and now he's in the AFC Championship with like 13 million people watching. Mm-hmm, like, I would do the same shit if I were him. But there are three big kind of numbers that we can take away from this game:
the crime rate in Detroit, the crime rate in Baltimore, and then they're both going to triple in the next week.
And
I'm fine with that.
The deposit that Petey's going to put into his FanDuel account this week too to try to make up for this. Yeah. All right, so
three things are tripping.
Penalties:
Petey's units, crime rate in Baltimore, crime rate in Detroit.
Almost triple, actually. Yeah, literally triple. The Ravens' penalty yardage versus the Chiefs: they had 8 flags for 95 yards versus the Chiefs only had 3 for 30. And then you look at the time of possession as well: 37 minutes and 30 seconds for the Chiefs, 22 minutes and 30 seconds. For the Ravens. And then you look at the red zone. The Chiefs were 2 for 3 in the red zone, 66%. The Ravens were 0 for 1. When I think about this game a year from now, I think the biggest thing that's I'm going to take away from it is, let's say they have a rematch next year, you know, January 28th, 2025. God, it feels so weird to say that next year is going to be 2025. We're really living in the fucking future right now. It's crazy. I would be looking for Baltimore to have a more balanced attack, because you would have thought going into this game that the Ravens would have had the better rushing offense, but they couldn't get anything going on the ground. No Justice. I mean, Justice Hill was fine in the pass game, but according to the run and Gus Edwards, it just didn't look like the same Ravens. I was surprised to not see Dalvin Cook get any time this week. He looked, I mean, at least moderately solid against the Texans.
That was charity. They were giving him handoffs last week.
But he looked good. I mean, would you rather had him or Gus Edwards today? Because Gus Edwards was just 6'4", standing straight up, getting fucking lit up by Justin Reed at the line.
The Chiefs made us play the Chiefs game. We did not play Ravens football. We just get too rattled when the game isn't. Yeah, Lamar has to learn to not always. You don't have to save the game with one play. You don't have to save it with one play. And Mahomes knows that, and that was the difference. He knows he can just, you know, 5 yards, 7 yards, 8 yards, 13 yards. Lamar's looking for a home run, which comes with experience. It comes with being in that moment and losing like that and learning from that and going into next year knowing that. Even with the, I mean, we'll talk about it in a second, but Purdy and the Niners knowing that composure to be down 17 and just take a breath out, just exhale. Stick with the run. Stick with McCaffrey. Doesn't matter if it's 2-3 yards at a time. He's going to break one off for 10, 20. You got to, at the end of the day, play your game and can't let them dictate that much. Yeah, the run game wasn't really there, but it doesn't mean leave it completely. Because when you see Lamar struggling like that, when you see him making not the smartest plays, at the end of the day, he's still very, you know, he's never played an AFC championship. You got Zay Flowers, who, yeah, was playing at BC a year ago. You got a lot of young guys out there. You just got to learn from that. You got to play your game. You can't let them dictate that too much. And just flat out experience, just out coached, and just a lot of mistakes on our end.
Do we realistically think that Lamar will ever take down Mahomes? I mean, do we think that the Ravens could ever possibly beat the Chiefs?
This was their best chance, and I think
– agreed.
Cerrone, I know you're trying to stay positive, but I think this is a huge letdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
you get the bye, you get home field, you face a what a lot of people see as not as great Chiefs teams as previous years.
Yeah.
Like, there's not as many weapons on the outside. They're definitely going to be better next year.
But the Chiefs, like, they've adapted. I think we have to give them credit. Like, they're kind of like the Patriots in this way, which sucks, but they've changed the way that they won. It used to be shootouts. It used to have to be 35-31, counting on Mahomes to be a superhero because he had Tyreek Hill. He had prime Travis Kelce. He had weapons across the board. And now they're in this Patriots era where you remember that Patriots Super Bowl against the Rams where they won what? It was like 9-6 or something like that. And they just relied on their defense and Brady being a hyper-efficient guy. That's how they're winning games now. And that's scary when you add that to your like bag. I used to think that, you know, the Chiefs were never going to have this good of a defense because they weren't going to be able to pay the guys, but they've just drafted so well. Karlaftis, McDuffie, Snead. They go out and get Justin Reed from the Texans. I mean, Willie Gay didn't even play in this game, and that Leo Chenal kid is a fucking stud. Like, they were all over the Tranquil played great.
Yeah, they had a left everybody guard played, out, linebacker out.
They don't have anybody below average at their position. Everybody's just at least average. Like, even I'm looking at the receptions. So Kelce was 11 of 11 on targets, and he only had one catch in the second half for 14 yards, which is great. Good job by Baltimore to adjust. But, I mean, Rashee Rice, I had no idea who this guy was coming into this year. Like, he's a rookie receiver, kid's a stud, 8 of 9 on his targets, 46 yards. Valdez Scantling got two targets, caught them both. So I mean, really the only guy that wasn't successful on his target rate was Noah Gray. He had five targets and only made two catches. And, you know, that's your backup tight end. Like,
yeah.
Justin Watson's coming out there and making the play when it matters. It's just, what do you got, P?
I mean, we can go into all the numbers and everything, but this is just classic Mahomes in the playoffs. They were not that good. What was the record this season? I mean, this was it for the Ravens to beat the Chiefs. I'm really worried about the Ravens and their future against the Chiefs because, I mean, this was the time. I mean, the Chiefs did not do well in the regular season. This is just a classic Mahomes, Kelce, like, sorry, guys, this is what it is. This is how it's going to be. This is what it's going to be. This is how it's been. Like, it's a fucking dynasty.
Can you imagine how good of a team the Ravens would be? Like, historically, how good would the Ravens be if Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes were never born?
Yeah.
Like, they would be in every fucking Super Bowl.
Exactly.
They would have had to just run over the Steelers. That was it.
Yeah. We used to, I mean, you preach this and everything, but you don't play to your, you play or you fall to your fundamentals, your floor. The Chiefs' floor is so high that their ceiling might not be that high, but their floor is so high that their standards, their floor is so high that, you know, Ravens floor is pretty low. If we play bad, we're going to play pretty bad. But if we play good, we're going to play pretty fucking good. The Chiefs aren't going to play really fucking good, but they're sure as fuck not going to play bad. Because their floor is so high, and you play to that, and our floor was lower, and they, we just got outplayed. It's as simple as that, and I think going forward, I think we'll see them again. It's going to be tougher. You never know. I also Baltimore loves being. I think the number one seed and the bye sometimes get to us. I think we're a team that almost plays better when. You know, we're not favored. We're not supposed to win. We are an underdog team, an underdog town, an underdog city. I think sometimes when the Ravens are favored like that, it just kind of gets in our head. I almost like the grit to where we sneak in and we beat a couple teams. But I don't know. Maybe the cheat. I mean, this is Patriots part two. It's just like the same thing.
Enjoy Cancun, buddy.
Yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. Dak's been there for a while. I think, Lamar will meet him in the lobby and make sure he gets checked in. All right.
On the top floor, baby.
Yeah. We'll have some girls there.
He's about to fucking jump off. He's about to jump off. The fucking loser. He's going nowhere. He's never winning a Super Bowl. Not with Mahomes in the league. Mahomes is greatness, dude. Mahomes is greatness. We saw tonight. Spagnuolo and Andy Reid. Andy Reid, those two are also fucking great. And Spags is a fucking maniac, dude. That guy does not get enough credit. He is insane. What he's done with that defense, dude, he's a maniac.
There have been two top five teams of all time, according to DVOA, that he's beaten and held him to 17 points. The Patriots in 2007, that Super Bowl, he was the DC of the Giants. And then this 2023 Ravens team was a top five team of all time, according to DVOA, which is just berserk. But we got to move into the next game. RIP the Ravens. We'll miss them. It'll be cool to see how they, you know, add to this team in the offseason. I'm excited to see what they can do. To answer Petey's question, I do think that the Ravens could go to the Super Bowl, but it's just going to have to be one of those situations where, I mean,
have to beat Mahomes.
They need they need like an Amari Cooper.
Yes, I would agree with that. Like, I think that, you know, this was definitely an improvement of the skill positions for them this year, but it's not like they had a top 10 receiver unit in the league. I mean, they're still relying on a rookie, a past his prime, Odell Beckham, Nelson Aguilar. Didn't see a lot of Bateman today. I didn't see Bateman at all.
Imagine Dobbins on this team.
I was going to say that before. We don't have JK. Keaton Mitchell, a lot of promise out of him for the four or five games that he played. I think he comes back strong. And you could also tell Mark Andrews played today, but, you know, he hasn't played in you know, a month or so. And he's got a busted-ass knee. He wasn't, you know, the Mark Andrews that he could say is at full percent, and he was going to play no matter what because he had to play. But he broke his
left leg like 3 months ago. Yeah, it's like, literally broke his leg. That's insane. Literally. And then he came back and played more football. Like, I am not playing pickup basketball, which is much less demanding than this. Yeah, and then he had to go and lose. God, Bordy, yeah. Just put it like, on top of him like
now
that.
My leg is just hurting even worse.
If any of us break the leg, we're gonna weigh 400 pounds without a doubt. Because we're just going to be so fat. I would go do that, but my fucking leg is broken over here. So what do you want me to do? You know what I'm saying?
I won't even go upstairs for probably 5-6 months. Never mind, you know, hop into a AFC championship game. So. But he wasn't himself, you know. You could tell that. So, yeah. Enough about this game. We close this chapter. And
I'm not watching.
You're not watching the Super Bowl.
Well, I was already halfway out when I found out Usher was doing the halftime.
Oh my god!
You don't like Usher?
I didn't even know that. Strony probably likes that.
Usher's
I don't love that, but it's not like it's like imagine if like Taylor was there.
That's horrible.
Who would you want to do the halftime show? T-Pain? I would have voted for
Future.
T-Pain.
Yeah, Future.
Billy Joel. Machine Gun Kelly. Can I offer that?
Young Thug live from prison over Zoom.
They should have did like an Elvis hologram or something, or like a Michael.
Agreed.
Vegas.
Way better than
an AI generated Super Bowl.
Get Tom Jones up there.
Yeah,
I mean,
Usher's
a good guy. Usher's a good guy. I thought he beat the shit out of. I thought he beat the shit out of someone, but that was Chris Brown.
What Usher song are you guys excited to hear?
Dude, I don't know a single Usher song off the top of my head besides "Yeah."
You'll always be my boo.
Yeah, Confessions Part 2. I guess I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not like that. It's definitely a step down from Rihanna. Like last year, I was like as excited for the Rihanna halftime show. I was ready for her to like announce an album or something like that. Then she just announced another pregnancy.
Imagine being like a 90s dad or like a early 2000s dad, and you get your kids tickets to the Super Bowl, and you're like, "We're going to the Super Bowl, guys!" And guess who's at the halftime show? It's Usher. And then they're all just like, "What the fuck, man?
Rock Birdie, fuck about Usher." Mahomes,
now that I think about it, Taylor I probably Swift couldn't name. Could you guys name three Usher songs? I don't think I can name another song.
No.
Well, that's a generational thing. Like the generation above us, like they're going to be really excited. Like if Bordy starts talking to a 35-year-old black chick, she's going to be like, "I can't wait for this Usher halftime show." But like, you know, 25-year-old white dudes, like we're not that fired up for Usher. That's all right, man. But like, hey, 10 years from now, it's going to be Playboy Cardi and our kids aren't going to be that excited about it. But I'm going to be fucking jazzed, man. So
that's 10 years, it's going to be like Mr. Beast doing magic tricks or something.
Magic tricks would honestly be sicker than fucking Usher. Magic used to be way sicker than Usher. Usher
just an America's Got Talent segment.
Yeah, where's R. Kelly? I'm sure R. Kelly wasn't booked up too bad for the, you know, we could have threw him on the stage.
just have him pissing on Brittany and Taylor.
Dude. All right, before we move into the Niners-Lions game, we need to take a break. So we're going to take a quick break. All right, moving into the Niners beating the Lions 34-31. America's sweetheart is fucking dead. And I'm not going to say it's because of Dan Campbell. I'm not going to say it's because of Kyle Shanahan. But it kind of just felt like, you know, just these two forces coming against each other. And what a shootout. What a fun game. You know, especially that first half. Everything was looking up for the Lions. It was just an overall – it was a totally different experience. It looked like a different sport than the AFC Championship where, you know, they're putting the points left and right. First couple of drives, the Lions look unstoppable. Bordy, I want to start with you. What's your biggest takeaway from this game? Moving into the Super Bowl and then moving into the offseason for the Lions, are you higher on the Niners after they were able to overcome that first half deficit, or are you more in the headspace of the Lions are the Lions and they just fucking Detroited all over themselves?
Yeah, tough loss, man. This almost hurts as much as the Cowboys loss. Because, as you know, I'm just a stern Lions believer. We've loved everything about them since the jump. And a real underdog story, you know. There's not often you get a Cinderella in football. And when you do, you kind of root for them to make it all the way because you especially don't see. Like, who was the last real surprise we saw in the Super Bowl? It's definitely, like, few and far.
The Bengals?
Yeah, the Bengals was cool because they went from, like, first pick 2 years before to Super Bowl. And, like, the Texans were another one of those stories this year. Yeah. Would have been pulling for them. But everything just fell the Niners' way in that second half. I really wasn't impressed with anything they did. I thought the Lions could have obviously taken points on the fourth downs that they went for. That kicker, Dan Campbell, must have a gripe with him. He must not be a fucking man. He must be a pussy some if Dan Campbell won't send him out there for 3 points. But you got that lead. You got a run game that's maybe the best in the league, and it's working, or seemed to be working. I don't know if the 49ers made some adjustments, but you just got to take control of that game kind of like the Chiefs did and just milk it. And they didn't do that. They had a few three and outs, a few costly turnovers, and blew their shot. So time to regroup. Niners are going to the Super Bowl where they thought they were going to be last year before Purdy's injury. So it's their shot at redemption.
Brock Purdy thoughts, P?
I mean, he played really well. He's just a really reliable, white, smart quarterback. Never saw this coming out of Iowa State, but I mean, he's a system QB and he's reliable, dude. But back to that Dan Campbell point, I mean, that was an I eat rocks for breakfast every single day, nothing else type of call. I mean, dude, you're up two possessions, you're up 14. Okay, two possessions plus another possession, that's three possessions. It's a lot of time. Take the fucking points, man. I mean, seriously, I get it.
More possessions if you consider field goals instead. When people say how many possessions, they're always counting touchdowns.
Right.
You add that three, it makes it two touchdowns and two field goals. It, like, when you lose by 3 points and you leave six on the board, like.
Yeah, I get it. You're tough and you have a really big back and you probably dumbbell row like 200s. But, dude, like, at some point you got to swallow the ego pill and take the fucking points. I mean, it's fourth and three, dude. Okay. I get it. You're huge and you want to act tough, but, like, at some point, you gotta own up to it, man, and you just gotta take the points.
That was just brutal. I'll be honest with you, I didn't watch much of. I was just like in my room with all the lights off, just praying God. After the Ravens game, I actually went on after the Ravens game. I went on a 10-mile run with no headphones, which is just shows you. That's how bad I was in a mental space. Because I couldn't look at my phone. I was getting blown up by every person I know just talking shit about the Ravens.
Damn.
But I came back in. I checked my phone, and they were up. I think it was 17-0. But for them, I mean, I thought the Ravens loss was bad. This is, I think, two or three times worse because they had it, and they lost it. We never had it, but we lost it. All season long, you know, we've been saying, when is this going to bite Dan Campbell in the ass? When is this fourth down? When is this go for it? When is this, like P said, just fucking rough and tough, just fucking want to put your cock in the table style coaching going to bite them in the ass? and it happened today. That play was brutal. It completely switches the momentum. And then, you know, you give the Niners an inch, they take a fucking mile. Then you have Gibbs with the fumble. You have Josh Reynolds is his name. Those two brutal drops where you don't understand how bad, like even when Bateman dropped one in the first quarter, you know, it's just such a momentum game, the NFL these days, that when you have those little drops, you don't think it means anything, but it just means so much. And for them to lose that one, I mean, yeah, man, I can't imagine, you know, them making this far in the Cinderella, you know, note and story. For them to just have that one slip through their hands, fuck, man, you got to tip the cap. The Niners are just a better team. I mean, we called it. It's going to be a shootout. It's going to be who can outscore who. But yeah, that is got to be a tough one to swallow. Maybe we get an Eminem album out of this Detroit loss. Maybe M goes to the studio and just fucking angrily spits bars and just fucking throws some fire. But yeah, as much as Baltimore's hurting, Detroit's hurting more right now. It's
everybody in Detroit just has to go back to their shitty mobile home.
That's exactly.
And their factory job.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
From Detroit.
Yeah, on the bright side, you and Ashley from Detroit are going to have some sick loser sex. It's going to be, you know, taking each other's anger out on one another. She hit me up
the whole game. They were
you
in
a Lamar jersey, her in a Gibbs jersey. You know, you guys will both get dreadlocks for that event.
Yeah, dude, she said she was going to flash her tits if Detroit won. So I was heavily on Detroit because we want to see that for sure. But yeah, she was fired up. She was like, this is our squad. This is our team. I can't believe this is happening. And I was honestly – I mean, bro, the Lions came out hot. Like, I watched the replays of the stuff I missed. They couldn't be touched that first quarter, that first, like, that half. I don't even know what went wrong. It was a lot of – there was that crazy Ayuk play, which, again, we talk about with Zay Flowers. NFL just comes to be this game of inches. And the ball bounces off – I think it was the DB's helmet. It bounced off his face. He caught it. That was a huge play. The Gibbs,
hit a DB right in the
face. The Gibbs fumble. And then you got to give it to, I mean, I talked about it with the Ravens, but you got to give it to Shanahan. Even down 17, they still play their game. They still give it to McCaffrey. They still run it. They still play their game. You don't let it dictate how you play. Purdy, like P said, nothing special, but again, it doesn't matter if you get the job done. He played great. He was composed even when everything wasn't going his way. And just like we talked about before, when everything was going wrong, they took one problem at a time, solved it, next problem, solved it, next problem, solved it. And next, you know, it's tied. And then we all knew this. Once they tied that fucking game, there wasn't a chance in hell that Detroit won that game. It's just momentum. It's just everything going their way. And yeah, that one stings really bad for a city who hasn't, you know, had that success at all in so long to be that fucking, to be that close. That hurts. I'm sorry, Ash. I mean, that one sucks.
On the bright side for Ashley from Detroit, the Pistons beat the Thunder today by about 14 and nobody paid attention to that without Cade Cunningham. So good for
that's
the Pistons
actually very
to get
surprising.
That win.
All right.
But I've got a couple of things for you. So there the you go, first Ash. One is, you know, the Lions, like you said, they came out on a hot start. It reminds me of the guy who picks up a chick that's way out of his league and he's talking all of this shit and he's like, baby, like, I'm going to fuck you for hours. Like, we're going to go like three rounds tonight. And he comes out and he gives her a great performance in the first 3 to 4 minutes, then blows his load. And then what do you know? He can't get it up the second time. And she's just fiending for more because he totally promised that they were going to have, you know, the night of their lives together. But instead, he's like, like, you want to just watch The Office or something? Like, just cuddle.
He blames it on his grandma dying. He's like, yeah, my grandma just died. She's been so stressed. Like, you don't finish that fast.
But he's like, you know, I was hyping her up. He's definitely used that one before. And then the other thing is that, you know, the Lions are – it's interesting. So Brad Holmes is their general manager, right? And he's done a great job of turning this thing around, going out and getting Campbell and filling out this roster. But the Lions really looked themselves in the mirror in this game. Somebody was talking about how when Brad Holmes came over, that he was going to rebuild the Rams, when in reality, because the Rams kept losing to the Niners, he wanted to build the Niners. So I'll walk you through this. Penei Sewell is their Trent Williams, right? They go out. They could have drafted a number of different guys in that Jamar Chase draft. They're like, fuck it. We want to set a culture. We're going to get Penei Sewell, an all-pro right tackle. They go out and they get Gibbs in the first round, which is very early for a running back to get drafted now. He's their McCaffrey in a lot of ways. You know, somebody that can catch it out of the backfield, somebody that can run. And then Amon-Ra St. Brown kind of fits the Deebo Samuel mold of I can throw him a screen, throw it to him underneath, and he can have some serious yak after it. Right, can't tackle me kind of ideal. And then the other thing is you know, you got an Iowa tight end, you got Kittle out there, you got Laporta, and then they're doing something similar on defense too. You got a Big Ten edge rusher and Nick Bosa and Aiden Hutchinson. So I'm confident that the Lions can continue to get back to this kind of area every single year. I firmly believe that they should be the favorites in the NFC North for this foreseeable future, as long as they have this regime together. It's just that they ran into a better version of themselves. We talked about it last week. 1 through 53, the Niners are more talented, man. Like, if there's a huge difference between Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw and Alex Anzalone and Malcolm Rodriguez or Jack Campbell, whoever it might be, right? And if you just look across the defensive line, Chase Young, Eric Armstead, Hargrave, Bosa, that's very different than Aiden Hutchinson and crew. I can't even name the other D linemen off the top of my head. The corners, Charvarius Ward versus Sutton, Hufanga versus CJ Gardner Johnson. Like, that's a little bit more even, but you get what I'm saying. They ran into this better version of themselves. They came out hot. They busted their nut early, and it's hard to maintain that level of testosterone the entire game. Which is why, you know, the second half, they're like, hey, Shanahan, you want to lay down, cuddle, maybe watch The Office. We'll just take this one from here. Better luck next year, Niners.
We've all been there before.
Yeah, I mean.
We definitely have.
I honestly think, like, they got unlucky, dude. Like, they should have won this game. Yeah, they ran into a better version of themselves, but they gave up 27 straight consecutive points. Like, that's just something you cannot let happen in playoff football. 27 straight points. Like, this should have been their game. To be honest, so.
But we knew that was a possibility with this defense. This defense isn't full of all pros. They don't have all year they've been the weak link of this team. They've been bottom half of the league in almost every advanced statistic. Defense against the red zone, defense on third down conversions, and the Niners have been at the top of that list the entire time. So at some point, like, I was really confident in the Lions, but I knew that push was going to come to shove. I just didn't think that it would be this dramatic. Because what was it? It was 27 unanswered?
Yeah.
I mean, that's unheard of in a playoff game.
Yeah, you knew Purdy was going to answer back, but you knew they were going to get back into it, make it a game.
When Jared Goff needed cover, he went right down the fucking field.
Yeah. And then I think a huge – that Gibbs fumble, too, was just – yeah, you kind of feel the tides turning. And I'll say this, too, because I don't really watch too many Lions games. Dude, Gibbs is fucking nasty. That kid, like, I can't imagine. The whole time I was like, man, if we had him on the Ravens, every time he touches the ball, you just hold your breath. I was like holding my breath every time because he just is so fucking fast. He's so shifty. You called it, Ralph. What's his name? Jameson Williams had an insane game right off the bat, catching, I think he had two touchdowns. Yep. But yeah, man, you look back and I don't even know where the fuck it all went wrong. Like, before you knew it, it was just somehow tied. And you, like, they just looked so fucking good. It looked like at the beginning. And yeah, I guess almost like the, you know, we were talking about before, like the floor of San Fran is just so high. Like, you know, they might not go crazy, but there's no fucking way they're gonna have a bad game. There's just too many weapons. God, I would have loved how beautiful would it have been if Detroit goes to the Super Bowl and beats Mahomes and beats Kelce and Swift. That would have been
a rematch of the kickoff of the season. The very first game we watched this NFL season was Lions in Kansas City.
We would have broken the Matrix finally.
Yeah.
And we would have.
We were so close, man.
They couldn't let that happen. We would have broken into a new fucking dimension.
How many ODs are happening in Detroit tonight? Real question.
What's the line?
That's my thing. Yeah. How many ODs? Maybe how many ODs? Touchdown? 8.5?
You know what's all. All right. Wait,
I mean, come on.
Should we do the math again? Should we do the fart math again? That's what we're calling the math that we do on these podcasts.
What's the Detroit population? I texted Ashley.
We're going to have to edit this out when we wake up tomorrow and it's like, Jared Goff found a hotel room.
All right, Detroit population.
With a fucking needle and a spoon.
632,464,000 people.
Third of them gone.
I hope zero.
You know that call. You know that Call of Duty scene. You know that Call of Duty scene in COD 4, the sniper mission, where it's like 10 years ago, 35,000 people lived here. Now it's a ghost town. You know that scene when you're the sniper in COD 4. Yeah. It's like that guy like reenacting it.
Sure.
Yeah, dude. Oh yeah. So, and it's just another funny ass tidbit. I texted Ashley. I was like, "Yep, just fucking tough loss. I'll call you later. Get home safe." And she replied, "No, I won't." I said, "What the fuck do you mean?" I was like, "Don't say that." Yeah. So maybe the over is gonna hit.
She's already planning on ODing. She's sick of your shit, Cerrone.
Put the spoon and the lighter down. Okay, put the pills down. We love you. We need you. The Pistons won. Okay, the Pistons won.
The Pistons won. All right.
Yeah. So maybe that number's higher in Baltimore.
This is just crime. I think we're just gonna rob. I would. Let's catch a flight to Baltimore and just cause some havoc.
Let's not. We're gonna fucking all die. We're all dying if we do that.
Or we can stay in LA. It's pretty good weather over here.
We got a couple of other segments we got to get to before we move on. The line is up for Niners versus Chiefs.
Oh, what is that?
You guys want to take a guess? Whoever gets the closest guess between the three of you will be able to determine what the next draft is for the next episode. Instead of me picking it, it'll be you guys. You guys get to pick what the next draft is for the next episode.
All right.
Let's go with Cerrone first. What do you think the line is? Neutral site in Las Vegas, Niners versus Chiefs.
5.5 Niners.
Wow.
Niners by 5.5. What do you got, P?
Chiefs minus 2.5.
Chiefs minus 2.5. Bordy, what do you got?
So we're way different headspace.
That brings.
You could nail this, Bordy.
Cerrone brought my number up, and then Petey brought it way down.
I should
toss one of your guys.
Mahomes magic, dude. We saw it tonight. Mahomes magic.
I'm just gonna go with my original number. And that's Niners minus 3.5.
It's probably Niners minus 2.5. That's probably what it is.
Niners by 1.5.
Okay. Niners minus
40 is the closest. You can get the Chiefs at even money line right now, plus 100. Super Bowl MVP odds. And we'll go through all of this in a couple of weeks when we're previewing the episode. Mahomes is plus 115. Purdy is plus 220. And then after that, you got McCaffrey at plus 500. Then a significant drop off to Kelsey at plus 2,200. You know the NFL is just itching to give Kelsey the MVP if they win this game.
Yeah.
Because they just want Taylor to be up there, you know, kissing him on the lip. Like, did you guys see the end of the game? Like,
awkward to me. We're not talking about that.
Yeah.
We not?
No, I think we have to. I think we have to. Because
hands are way too big.
It feels so orchestrated to me. It feels so fraud and fake. I don't buy their chemistry at all. Like, they're on the field. Like, why are you doing the beat-off emoji, P? Like,
because, dude, this is mainstream shit. I don't want to talk about Taylor and Travis, dude. This already takes up 90% of my feed. I don't want to fucking sit here with my buddies and talk about that. Can we just talk about who's going to win this
game? But it's from a positive thing. And no, we're not going to talk about who's going to win this game because we have 2 weeks to do that, all right, P? So we got to, you know, chew up the stuff that's given to us.
Look how mad he has his little sideways hat.
I'm so pissed. from what we've seen,
you're so cute when you're mad.
We should be taking all of our money, all of our 401ks, whatever we have, entire net worth, and putting it on Chiefs money line. Yes.
Yep.
What have, like, are we just big, dumb Neanderthals? I mean, come on. What the fuck?
That's coming from the guy that went 0-2 today.
It's spot on.
We're all just big dumb, cummy-filled. Say it, Viv. Say it with your fucking chest, you fucking fat pussy.
You said big fat cum filled. Is that right?
Exactly what I said. We should just take all of our money and put it on Mahomes. I'm telling you, Mahomes versus Brock Purdy in the fucking 2024 Super Bowl. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah. We said it before too. If the Chiefs pulled this one off, they're probably gonna win the whole fucking thing. Which is sad and sucks.
Yep.
But the thing is too though, do you, you don't want to – the guaranteed bet might be the Chiefs, but, like, you don't want to even, like – you want to take – I mean, are we going to take that? Is it even fun to take that? Because then you're just rooting for the Chiefs the whole game. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Chris Jones is going to lock down the MVP in the third quarter when he straight up ass rapes fucking Purdy.
Purdy was slimy tonight. You gotta give the kid props. He was slimier than fuck.
All right, let's move into the next segment. We are doing the hottest TV chicks draft, and we're doing this in honor of Sydney Sweeney, who has just been memed to death for her appearance on Hot Ones.
There goes my number one.
I have the list randomizer right here. I'm entering all of our names right now to determine the draft order.
Take mine Peter, out, would you though. Like to, I'll be the ref. I'll be the judge. How about I'll be the judge? How about that? Can I be the judge?
What? No, so say it on Come the on. Fucking pod. Talk about it, because this is
He just
bullshit.
Can't even name one. He just doesn't know any.
I'll give you one. I'll give you one. But I'm not doing the whole draft. I'll sit here and I'll observe. And if I don't know their names, I'll look them up.
You got to give us the first one.
Okay. All right.
Bordy has the first pick. I have the second
Let's
pick.
Go.
PD has the third pick, and Cerrone has the fourth pick. Because P, if you're not going to be in it, then you have to at least explain why you're not in it, and then everybody
I'll
else
explain.
Can be like, "Oh, all right, yeah."
I'll explain. I'm not in it because I'm in a long-term relationship, and I respect my girlfriend, and I'm a huge pussy, and I'm not going to draft hot girls because I don't find other girls attractive, and. I'm not doing it. I'll sit here and I'll be the judge, and I might pop a chub while you guys list off some baddies, but I'm not. I'm respectfully sitting this one out. So
good for you. Good Roger Goodell pay you to say that.
Look at Cerrone over there just chugging water after a 10-mile run with no earbuds. Someone needs to check on this guy, dude.
I'm a fucking dog, bro.
I thought Bordy was a psycho over there. I thought Bordy was a psycho.
I'm
going to
get through this.
Cerrone's literally a lordy from Euphoria.
That's what he wishes to be, Bordy. Don't hype him up. Fuck that.
I'll blow that guy's fucking – I'll blow him out of the water a couple of years. Just watch. It'll be my, people will be like, oh, yeah, lordy's just like a – kind of like a weirder Mike Cerrone. Yeah, even though I'm the fucking weird one.
A weird.
All right, Bordy, you're first up. But, P, yeah, you got to give us one chick that we can't draft. Who's the hottest TV chick in your mind?
Yeah, this
right is- now?
Well, yeah, it has to be from a TV show.
From a TV show? It can't be a movie?
Yes. Can't be a movie. Has to be TV chicks.
See, I'd have to think about that.
Can't be Millie Bobby Brown.
We're doing movie chicks at a different date. We're doing TV chicks first. Quit saying Millie Bobby Brown, Bordy. That's disgusting.
Bordy, she's
Stranger Things girl?
I said
yes.
Is that number 11? Is that 11?
She's 14.
God damn, she do have a donk, though.
Oh, I got it. I got my hottest TV show girl. You ready?
Yeah.
Sophia Vergara from Modern Family. That's mine.
That was my number one pick. That was my number one pick.
Let's go, P. Yeah. You got to finish the draft. You got to keep going. You're going to leave that momentum on the table?
I can't.
But is your girlfriend really going to be mad if you pick Jamie Lynn Spears from Zoe 101?
Bordy looks like he's an extra on Zoe 101 right now with that Yankees and hoodie hat.
Like a college skater right there.
Like, stay away from him. He's the fucking dropout druggie.
You have one line, be like, nice catch, nerd. And you just walk away. It's like your one line in the whole episode. Yeah.
All right, Bordy, you're first up. Who's your first pick?
My first pick.
This is the most research Bordy's ever done in his life.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, this is tough, man.
Bordy, are you masturbating right now?
Yeah.
Are you puffing and masturbating?
There's Lubriderm all over the screen.
I did most of my research in the subreddit Watch It for the Plot. Did a lot of my research there. I'm gonna go Minka Kelly, Friday Night Lights.
Wow,
Lila Garrity. I'm gonna go a little nostalgic with my first pick. Just a beautiful woman, one of my first crushes, and that Texas accent just gets me a woman.
What would you do to her? What would you do to her? Right now, what would
propeller?
You do?
Would you break out the broken propeller position?
I'd probably break out the peanut butter.
Oh.
You're definitely eating ass.
It seems like a peanut butter lover. Yeah, and I'd put it in all the wrong places.
Okay, I don't have any thoughts on this because I've never watched Friday Night Lights, but she's a smoke show. I just looked her up. Yeah, she's a Friday Night Lights that good of a show. Everybody's always like, this is one of the best shows of 21st century kind of thing.
It's the beginning of Michael B. Jordan's career. It's the beginning of that ginger.
Is it The Wire the beginning of Michael B. Jordan's career? This isn't before The Wire, right?
It's like the biggest actor in the world right now.
Ed Sheeran?
No, he's in that Date Night movie. He's the cop
now. Jesse Plemons?
Yeah.
Did you refer to him as the biggest actor in the world right now?
Yeah, I mean, he's in fucking everything.
Yeah, like Mike. Like Mike.
Yeah, like Mike is definitely the beginning of Jesse Plemons. All right, Megyn Kelly's a smoke show. You know, this is tough.
Tough
this is
between her and Connie Britton. Connie Britton's in that too. She's a smoke,
she also has the same name as so Mika hot. Fitzpatrick, but that's for another day. So I don't know how I feel about that.
Love the Connie Britton shout out, Bordy. I've always been attracted to that like older Southern MILF. Like that's one of my favorite genres of woman. kind of like Sandra Bullock. The only time I've ever thought Sandra Bullock was hot was in The Blind Side.
She was
Blind Side.
Strawberry Blonde.
That's what makes me want to get married. Like if I just have like just a beautiful, cute, just not like not a hot, but just a, there's a difference between hot and beautiful. You want to marry the beautiful girl, you know what I'm saying? Just wake up to that.
Bordy's kind of looking like Michael Orr right now.
Bro, did you guys on a wild side note, it came out that the whole Blind Side was like fake or something. Did you guys like hear that? This was like a year ago. Ralph might
know more
than that.
It wasn't that it was fake, it was more that it was like artificialized and that, you know, Michael Orr didn't have as much of a choice as it insinuates in the movie, and that they capitalized off of him and his contract with the Ravens. All right, I'm up. You know, I could 1-1
Minka Kelly.
I think 1-1 Minka Kelly. I think that this is it's just a sign of how much I love this show. I can take pretty much any girlfriend that Jerry Seinfeld had in Seinfeld, but I'm gonna go with who I think is like honestly. I think when I first started, you know, really figuring out what jerking off was, this person was in my mind all the time,
dude.
And that is Terry Hatcher. I'm going to be selecting her in her one episode of Seinfeld. You also might know her from Desperate Housewives. Just an absolute smoke show. I was going to take Sofia Vergara first.
Holy fuck,
took her already.
You know, what, you know like? A Jew. You know a Jew named Jerry Seinfeld has a long ass cock.
Sure. Nice
so,
job.
Yeah, I love Terry Hatcher in that episode of Seinfeld. And Pete, you know that's my type. You know, tan, brunette.
Olive skin,
cocky,
mental issues.
Skin. No mental issues in this one. She's just absolutely gorgeous.
Ready to just suck the soul out of a little 3-inch shrimpy.
The best part of this episode is that the whole plot is centered around whether or not he essentially has Elaine. Jerry has Elaine tried because he's like her tits are too perfect. They have to be fake, right? And he hasn't gotten a chance to like really feel them up yet because they've only had one date in 90s New York. So like they're taking things slow. It's a TV PG show. Look at PG's face right now. Jesus. He has Elaine like look at her in the steam room because they belong to the same gym. And the whole episode just revolves around them trying to find out if her tits are fake or not. And then she comes up to him at the end of the episode when she breaks up with him. She goes, by the way, they're real. And they're fantastic. And everybody's just like, oh.
Get fucked, Jerry.
Little Vivi's little dick got so hard, he probably fucking backed up to the glass table and fucking broke the glass table. It's like, oh, fuck. I'm so hard. 4'8".
His dick saluted him at that very moment.
He's like, we're going to have a bright future together, Ralph.
Like a little soldier.
All right, Cerrone, your 1-1 is still available if you want to take her, the one that we're doing this draft for.
Yeah. Well, so is this a snake draft? Do I have two picks?
Yeah.
Okay, beautiful. You have two picks in a row. I'll just to shake it up a little bit, just for my number one pick. I mean, I grew up on this show. One of my favorite shows of all time. You guys are gonna hate on it. But give me Rachel from Friends. Give me Jen Aniston from Friends.
Yep, good pick.
Every time
that's the consensus 1-1, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean this girl,
the Sydney Sweeney of her time.
Yeah, literally. I mean, just the most beautiful women I think I've ever seen. The girl doesn't age. She's funny. She's cute. She's pretty. Then she's doing things like Meet the Millers where she's in panties. Like, just fucking childhood crush to the max.
You love
– Oh, dude. Stuff.
You love
– When we do
friends, yeah.
The hottest movie chicks draft, her and Horrible Bosses as the evil dentist.
Oh, that's yeah. That's, like, one of
my top three picks.
Yeah. And like, he doesn't want to fuck her. Oh, my God, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus, P. Just, I thought you were in drafts, P. How about you just keep your ad-libs to yourself? You get a lot of draft, but you're allowed to just be in the background, dude, and go, oh, my, yeah.
My screen is hilarious because it's like Ralph Bordy, and then P's on the bottom, but he's like to the right and off-centered with his hat back or sideways, so he's just kind of in this corner with this little devious little look. Stand up. Are you in basketball shorts or you're pitching a tent?
He looks like the first guy with a webcam in 2008.
Yeah. This is the pop-off pod, not chat roulette, Pete. Get it together.
anyways, is it really that bad?
No, it was just funny. It was just for a second.
Pete, when you're sitting back like this, yeah, it's pretty creepy.
I should have taken a screenshot.
I don't want you guys to know what I'm doing back here. I don't even know what I'm doing back here. Huh? Yeah, how about that?
Shit.
How about that?
But yeah, huh? give me Rachel for friends. Yeah, it's just like all-time crush. You know, I'm watching that coming home from middle school and high school where your hormones are just through the roof. So you're just like jerking off on the fucking family living room couch. And then second, you know, I'll mix it up a little bit. Give me Sloan from Entourage. Have you guys seen Entourage?
Oh, yeah.
Drop dead, and I don't really like brunettes a lot. Drop dead, gorgeous brunette. Yeah, like talk about wifey material. Hot, gorgeous, funny. And then the, you know, E, kind of like the guy that you don't think can get her, gets her. That's one of my favorite shows of all time, and I just caught myself drooling over her. All the fucking
I'm
time.
Turtle, so he's best friend, and I'd fuck.
So. I was gonna say, what do you mean,
turtle-like?
What do you mean we haven't seen Entourage? Fucking look at Bordy right now.
Yeah, he's living it. He's fucking. He screams
Entourage. There's a huge Entourage poster right inside Bordy's poker room at his dad's house. Huge Entourage poster. Right.
You know how girls have like image boards? My image board was just Turtle and E2. He's one. Favorite character. Oh, even the whole show, that cast is just top to bottom. I wanted to do a shout out and honorable mentions. If you didn't pick Stallone, just all the girls in Entourage just drop dead gorgeous. I think that was why that show succeeded so much, especially for guys like us.
We could hang out all day.
You know,
don't shout out too many people because, you know, we got four rounds to go here. We have to do rounds between the three of us. That's pretty bitched out. All right. So you got Sloan and Jen Aniston from Friends. Bori took Mika Kell. I got Terry Hatcher. If she's going to fall to me, I'm going to take Cassie from Euphoria. Give me Sydney Sweeney. Just a revelation the second that she popped up on the screen. Obviously having a big time moment right now. She's a stick of dynamite is what she is. You know, she could explode at any time, good or bad. And that kind of excitement is something that I look for every now and then. You know, I'm not saying I'm going to marry the woman, but, you know, a 6-month stint with her would be a blast. I've been known to, you know, date somebody that might be a little bit on the crazier side that's pretty hot for a while. And that's just, you know, it's a good mix-up, okay?
Ralph
you
can likes always the volatility. Have,
yes, exactly, Cerrone. That's what I'm looking for. You know, if I'm the general manager of an NBA team, I always want somebody like Deion Waiters on my roster or Cam Thomas because one night
She's nothing more than a Okay, you need to quit making this parallel.
Very talented girl.
You being a GM of an NBA team when all she is. And then you start bringing up Deion Waiters. I mean, what the fuck are we doing here?
I'm doing an analogy here. We tie it all in. Pop-up pod. We tie it all in. Sports and pop culture. Cam Thomas. Like, Cam Thomas is a guy who will go for 16 points in 2 minutes, and that's the best 2 minutes of your life. You don't think Cassie from Euphoria could give me the best 2 minutes? They have sex scenes with her all over the place for a fucking reason, because sex sells, like we just said. This is going to be the pod that gets us canceled, but you can't keep calling people.
No, her character in the show.
Her character.
Yes.
Her character, not her. She's a sweetheart. Her and Hot One, sweetheart. She's amazing. Well, great I'm person. Pretty, great I mean,
she's, she's probably pretty filled up.
Petey's like, I can't draft because I don't want to offend my girlfriend. By the way, that girl you just drafted is a...
Yeah, you said the most. Right. You said the most offensive shit out of all four of us. You're not even in the draft.
By a mile. He's just absolutely heinous. He's just sitting on the sidelines analyzing like fucking Tony Romo. You're like, oh, I don't know, Jim. She's a...
Oh, Jim.
Oh, yeah. Tony Romo, by the way, I mean, he had insane Botox going on tonight. I like took a quick two and looked at his forehead and I was like, holy fuck, he has no wrinkles when he's laughing and smiling. Like, what is going on? It's wild.
Are you as excited for Brady to be on the broadcast next year for Fox? I kind of liked Greg Olsen tonight again. And we talked about Greg Olsen on the tight ends draft, but
Tom Brady's kind of a weirdo. He's like kind of like too perfect, like too animated. I don't know what it is, but kind of creeps me out a little bit. He's like too robot.
I fully expected him to show up on the Epstein list. I thought he was going to be on the Epstein list for sure.
I don't really relate to Tom Brady. I'm not sure if that's a problem for like anyone else. But he's kind of hard to relate.
Do you have that?
A little bit more everyman?
Do you have the Epstein list?
Yeah, no, I don't.
Yeah, who Ross has printed out in his back pocket?
Download this app I sent you. I'll send it to you.
Actually, you have it.
Right,
oh, Pete's gonna have way too much fun with that.
Yeah, I got
it. Well, I'm just gonna go check
Cerrone. We should do an Epstein on there. List draft.
Pete, Cade Cunningham's
it's
on.
It's not under Cerrone.
No,
under,
he's not.
Shut 40, you got back to back picks. Let's get back to the draft.
Back to back picks. 40. I'm gonna take two shooting guards here. If we're still doing NBA GM style. I'm going to go Grace Park from Hawaii 5-0. Absolute smoke. Whoa. Not sure I've seen that show, but I wanted some diversity on my team. And just a beautiful Asian woman, I think. tight body. She plays a great cop.
Keep it going.
She's a good shot. Good shot, yeah. Hot.
I should have poured a glass of red wine for this pod.
What would you do to her?
You know, one of those totem poles that they got down there in Hawaii. Did you see any totem poles down there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Probably just sit on top of one of those.
Okay. There we go. You guys have to say what you would do to them in somewhat of detail after each pick. Otherwise, it's like... No, I'll take Grace Park. Yeah, it's a good pick.
I'd probably take her to like a dinner, like on the water.
And Peter Wright.
I'd probably drink like three bottles of wine and talk about stuff she doesn't care.
And then after that, what would you do?
Then I'd probably call us a car.
Keep going.
Probably like on the higher end. I don't know if I'd have the money for it, but
Uber Black.
Okay, keep going.
Put it on credit or something. Yeah, I'd take her back to try to get a nice room, but I'm probably just at the local Hilton or something. just single queen bed.
All right, this is where it gets good. Keep going. Keep going.
Yeah, and then then I bust out some snacks I got from the vending machine, and we turn on some because old
you're
episodes.
Fat, because you're fat and scared. It's okay, just say it. Just say it.
And some Skittles gummies, maybe some Fritos, some chili cheese Fritos.
Oh, yeah.
Get real scared.
Cerrone's up, or is Bordy another one?
I gotta get
Bordy's another one.
Shit, is this my last pick? Are we doing three rounds again?
We're doing four rounds because Petey's not drafting, so we need 12 total picks.
Shoot. Okay. God damn. Okay. All right. I'm going to take this lovely lady off the board because I know she is a high prospect in the world. I'm going to go Alexandra Daddario in The White Lotus.
Ooh, I thought you were going to go True Detective Season 1.
That was my. Can I still take that?
No, we can't take it.
No, he just took Alexandra.
It's gone. Oh. That's why I did it. Threw you guys a curveball with the White Lotus pick.
Nice, Bordy. Nice.
A little more depth on her in that show. She's more of a rounded character in that show as opposed to True Detective, where she's just kind of a whore fucking an old dude.
40. But good pick, dude. I'm looking at pictures right now. Good pick. Good for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. After my first pick, I didn't get much support, so I needed to get the boys back on my side with this one, and I knew this would be good.
Great pick.
The White Lotus franchise is just stacked. I'm happy to see what you guys maybe got cooking from that universe.
Is it me?
I mean, yeah, White Lotus is definitely stacked. I got one more pick, and then it's you back-to-back, Cerrone.
Fuck.
You know, this is tough because, like, I've got, you know, Terry Hatcher, Cassie from Euphoria. So I've got, like, is it weird that I took a high schooler? I just kind of realized I took a high schooler.
Nope, I'm fine. Checks out. I'm fine with that.
Cerrone's got Vanessa Hudgens on deck.
Have you guys ever seen iCarly?
Oh, High School Musical.
Oh, yeah. Andre Drummond, didn't give a fuck.
Oh, you taking Sam?
Jeanette McCurdy? McCurdy?
No, yeah. I'm up. It's my pick. And PD just keeps distracting. He just keeps trying to, you know, play it cool and be on the sideline, and he just keeps coming into the game like a referee trying to get involved.
I want to catch a pass. Hey, you sit down, sir.
Oh, fuck. I could stay on the crazy path, but I couldn't.
This is
just
a great draft. We should have had an hour-long draft for this.
Yeah, I mean, we're taking, you know, this has been 25 minutes of it, and we're going to do movie checks at one point, too. Ever guys told you guys the story about Hato taking the girl with the dragon tattoo with the fourth pick
in
the
movie
checks draft? Just insane. All right, I'm going to go with my heart here. Love a woman of power, you know, and I could have taken her as Elaine Benes in Seinfeld. I'm going to take Julia Louis-Dreyfus as Selena Meyer in Veep. One of the funniest shows I've ever seen. And this is just a woman who, you know, I could have been married to her. She could have taken care of me. I want, you know, I've got the high schooler. I've got the mid-20s, early 30s. I want to go MILF here. So I'm going with Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
She's not even hot at all on that. What are you doing?
I think she's an absolute smoke show. I think she's honestly one of the hottest people of the last 50 years, straight up, flat out. As Elaine, she's unbelievable.
You're taking her over the dragon queen?
I mean, I could take Khaleesi, but, like, I'm always at a threat of getting burnt alive by her dragons. All of her boyfriends ended up either dead or stabbed. Like, you have to think about this realistically. Like, yeah, I could.
Jon Snow's great. He went to the wall.
I don't want to be her nephew. That's the other thing. It's like, then I'm putting myself in his shoes. Like, she only fucks family. And also, I got to, like, overcome Khal Drogo. Like, I'm never going to satisfy her after Khal Drogo.
You could have taken her.
It's a little bit more attainable.
I got, like, three or four friends who's mom is just as hot as Julie.
Easily.
Are they president of the United States?
Dude, you could have taken Arya. She started throwing that last round.
Attracted the member.
I'm not taking Arya Stark. I don't find her attractive.
She's so feisty.
Don't let tell you, buddy.
I'm taking the president of the United States, the ultimate MILF. I mean, have you guys watched Veep? It's the funniest fucking show I've ever seen in my life. She's hysterical. Cerrone, you're up. Back-to-back picks.
All right, give me Madeline Klein, good old Sarah Cameron, Outer Banks.
Banger.
Beautiful girl.
Very attractive woman.
Just something about her in the sunset of the Outer Banks, just wind blown in her hair.
Thick thigh.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, she's got a body. Very cute, those little rosy red cheeks. Petey, you know, I would lay her down and just very simply lick every inch of her body.
Good boy. Good boy. That's what we like to hear.
You like that? That's what we like
to hear. I'm looking at pictures of her right now. I'm looking at her right now. Good for you. Nice.
It's a great pick.
Fair.
You got another one, Cerrone.
Okay. Give me Katie. Have you seen Green Arrow?
No.
Like, fuck, no one's seen it. Look up Katie Cassidy on Green Arrow. This was a while ago. The Green Arrow had this assistant, right? It was like this kind of like computer nerd assistant that was an absolute rocket, like bombshell. And I used to watch that religiously like 4 or 5 years ago. Had a huge crush on her. She hasn't really done anything acting. She's not really in a lot of shit. But give me her at the four hole
and that closes it out. I really, really, really wanted that girl from True Detective, the girl with the fit with the huge boobs when he, she's on top of, remember when she's on top of Woody? And because he cheats on his wife with her, and it's like the craziest scene. He's like talking about getting his cake and eating it too, and she just has the craziest natural tits you've ever seen. Really wanted her, but we'll take Katie Cassidy from Green Arrow to close it out.
Yeah, it was a delicious pick.
Damn it.
All right, I'm back up, and then it's Bordy. What was it, Katie Cassidy from Green Arrow? What's Green Arrow about?
Oh, dude, it's like a superhero. Oh, she's so hot. It's like a he's like a superhero. He's like fighting crime, going crazy.
The Green Arrow, Batman.
Yeah, it's a spinoff from
Batman's buddy.
Yeah,
right?
It's a spinoff from Batman. It was a I think there was like two or three seasons, probably like 6-7 years ago. It was pretty good. Kind of like, you know, I don't know if it's still.
He's like the DC Hawkeye.
Yeah, I don't know if it's still Aaron, but he was like kicking ass. I was pretty into it.
God, no.
He kind of like merged in with Daredevil, like that same whole kind of family. And yeah, I watched with my boy over and over again, and his little assistant was this chick, and she was just a rocket.
All right, so do I have to have watched an episode of the show to select the person?
Probably.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
You're just picking it off of a sex clip you watched?
No, just, you know, Baywatch was a huge show in the 90s, and like Pam Anderson and Baywatch seems like such an easy pick. I've never watched an episode of Baywatch.
You have to have seen an episode.
You gotta still be hot. Like, you can't just keep picking.
You can't just look up hottest TV show girls of all time.
I didn't look that up. She just came to mind. Like, you know, she was like the prototypical like American blonde girl for so time. All right, I've watched probably 4 episodes of the show and then I gave up though. I'm gonna, just to get some diversity in my lineup, I'm gonna go with Kerry Washington as Olivia Pope in Scandal. Petey, you might remember her from, you remember the Wayans Brothers movie we used to watch all the time, Little Man?
Yeah, I love that
she's
movie.
She's Damon Wayans's wife in that.
Yeah. And
she is just flawless, like such a gorgeous fucking woman.
Kerry Washington.
Yeah, I was between her and Hayden Panettiere and Heroes. Remember that show?
Oh,
both of these girls are just little.
I should have thought about this more. Yeah,
you know, you could throw them around. Pick. They're tiny women.
Who is that one, Viv? Hayden Panettiere? How do you spell that?
Hayden Panettiere.
Just by the sound of her name, you know she's a rocket.
And it'll pop up. Yeah.
Send a video.
I love you, Beth Cooper. But yeah, Kerry Washington, man. Just an absolute smoke show. You know, she's a detective in this show. So, I've drafted two people, a president and a detective, that aren't going to have a lot of time for me. Leaves me a lot of time to play video games, record podcasts with my boys. And then they come back at like weird hours of the night. And then they just kind of wake me up with a cold glass of water to the face at 3 a.m. And they're like, I need to get fucked now. And I'm like, deal. Sign me up. I'm right here for you. Yeah, I'll do it. I'm the reason you came home.
Oh, fuck. My pick just came to me like a fucking message from God.
Let's hear it.
Last pick.
Oh, fuck. I don't know her name, but
what the fuck, Morty?
I'm going to say the show and you guys. Oh, I know exactly who it is. Another message from God. The last pick of the Pop Off Pod TV hottest actresses. The one, the only, London Tipton.
Nice.
Oh!
Nice.
Is that legal? Look up how old she was in the shooting of that show,
Pete. Brody, I was obsessed with Ashley Tisdale's character.
She was probably like 25.
I was obsessed with Ashley Tisdale's character.
Is that legal? I was 14 watching that shit.
Yeah, Petey used to have a cardboard cutout of Ashley Tisdale in our basement, and he wrote her love letters to her address in Hollywood. And my mom supported. He was like 8 years old.
I would pay so much money to get those letters.
Oh my god, just insane.
Dude, I was obsessed with Ashley Tisdale. So obsessed.
I was obsessed with Vanessa Hudgens, which goes to show like why I have the taste of women that I do now. I was obsessed with Vanessa Hudgens as Gabrielle in high school music school. And P's like, no, Ashley Tisdale's way hotter. And I'll be like, no, Vanessa Hudgens is way hotter. And we would like fight.
Viv likes some black and ethnic. Viv likes some black, ethnic, Filipino, whatever. He likes a little extra spice. A little extra flavor.
You're dating an Asian woman.
Well, like, I know.
I'm not dating anybody right now. So, like, if anything, you like the flavor too, buddy. Like, don't count yourself out here.
Got you there.
So, Flavor Dar was your first pick. You took it from it.
Yeah, those Campianos like to mix it up.
Yep.
Which I respect. Right. I do.
A few honorable mentions. We got a shout out. Who is Cassie's rival in Euphoria, the one that Ruprecht is obsessed with?
Alexa Demi.
I forget her name.
Oh,
Maddie.
Oh, my God. She's like a sneaky 32-year-old. You say 5-tool? 40?
She's a 5-tool.
You know, just another crazy one, a little bit wild. Got to give a shout out to ZZ Beats in Atlanta, just a smoke show. None other really ringing true from here. Oh, Eva Longoria, Desperate Housewives. Got to keep Desperate Housewives in there.
All-time snub, Soprano.
Meadow Soprano. Forgot to mention
her. That was my other,
Agreed, so Gorg.
A few of Tony's Gumas could have maybe made the list.
I mean, the mob wife aesthetic is trending right now, so we got to shout out Adriana. No spoilers.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Blew it not drafting.
11. She, 11 for Bordy.
On one.
11 for Bordy.
Yeah. She's replacing Minka Kelly as my 1-1. Minka Kelly was just a soft pick 1-1, man. I really regret
that. I think Clark liked that one. Clark's definitely in on that one. He's a huge Friday Night Lights guy. All right, before we get out of here, we got an On This Day in History. Bordy, what do you got?
On this day in history, 1982, Bill Clinton lets homosexuals join the army in the military.
Hey! There you go, Bill.
So now our army fucking slays.
Nice.
Is that why? What did you say on the pre-call, Bordy? Did you say that's why Cerrone was allowed to be in the Marines?
Time out. Now time out.
God damn it.
Can we take a quick time out? How the fuck were gay people not allowed to join the army?
When you go to boot camp in Paris Island, you know, I can't talk about too much, but there is no rules on that island. And there was only two gay kids in my platoon. And they would constantly sleep in the same bunk, and everybody was and the DIs would just drag them, like, just fucking make fun of them, give them shit, dig in hard, like they just get torn apart. But yeah, I guess it's legal. I guess it was like a don't ask, don't tell type of thing. But yeah, you definitely, like, you get a mouthful there. You're not safe from anybody. Like, you're gonna get roasted, but I guess you could do it if you want.
They asked you to be in the next Top Gun movie, but you got to be a blatant homosexual. Would you sign on?
Where are we shooting?
Yeah.
Need my agent's info?
Yeah.
Sign me up. I'll fucking get me in that damn movie. Cruise. I mean, fuck, man, you got to make sacrifices.
I think that's the perfect role for Cerrone. Just flaming homosexual in the next Top Gun.
Yeah, I wouldn't, because you don't have to do gay shit. You just got to act gay.
Exactly.
I could do. Yeah, that's fine with me. A lot of you know, fuck, dude. Leo's first role, he was like mentally challenged. Like, a lot, you got to get her in your stripes. You know, you got to get up there somehow. So.
You gotta earn your stripes, and that's what we did on this episode. A few bleeps I'm sure will be thrown in here and there, but thank you guys for joining. This has been the Pop Off Podcast for Mike Cerrone, Nick Bordenero, and Peter Campiano.
Yeah.
I'm Ralphie, and we will see you a little bit later this week with Turner and Reesburg. In the meantime, have a great week. Happy Monday, and we're 2 weeks away from the Super Bowl, so kiss my ass. We'll talk about the Super Bowl at a later date, but for right now, we got some other shit to talk about. All right, we'll see you on the other side. Peace out.